Connecting our voices. Born from the need to feel connected. To voices strong and uncollected. From island shores to distant lands, we reach across with open hands. Pacific Hawaii, connecting our voices, lifting every voice higher, on air and online. We're tuning in together, no matter the weather, united we inspire. Pacific Hawaii, from the heart of the industry to your home and family, with new tech and legacy, we share our destiny. We laugh and we learn, we cry and we cheer, though miles apart we're always near. But the same show, the same time, a rhythm, a style, Pacific Hawaii, lifting every voice higher, stories told side by side, on air and online. Com.
Beautiful music there from Small X.
Right here on Planet FM 104.6 on a Saturday afternoon. Fabulous sounds from the Kingdom of Tonga here on Pasifika Wire, PW Live, connecting our voices. And speaking of connecting our voices, as I turn my head to this contraption here, I shouldn't say that.
Oh, the contraption.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's good to have your company. We have one of the most recognisable faces, voices amongst our Pasifika community, not only here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, but around the Pacific region and around the globe. He gets around, and I mean that in a professional sense, absolutely. He obviously is one of the biggest advocates for our Pasifika community, for language, for culture, for tradition. And he has been the host, and he continues to be the host, for one of the longest reigning current affairs Pacific shows on television currently right now. I'm talking about Te Ngata Pasifika, but we're going to talk more to this gentleman. And we're lucky because he's actually in the country. It's very rare that he is here. So ladies and gentlemen, madam and messieurs, if you've ever heard him speak as a master of ceremony, you know what I'm saying. Mr. John Pulu, mālua lele, whewhehake, John.
Saipe mālua si oto ofa atu, mālua lele, and warm Pacific greetings. Bonjour à tous. It's wonderful to be here.
It is so great to spend this chance with you. It's a bit different for us. I know we're colleagues.
I'm usually on that side.
You are.
I often question people's credibility when they invite me to be on their show. I'm like, what's wrong with you? There are way better people out there to interview, but honestly, it's an honor to be on the show and to follow up with so many other wonderful guests that you've had on the show. So congratulations to you and Gary and Issa and the team.
Thank you. Again, it's good because you look really well rested because you've been on the go.
It has been
You've just had such a busy time. In fact, I can't even count the amount of countries that you've been in this year.
But somehow they let me in now. But it is a huge privilege and an honor, you know, to travel and, you know, to see so many places because of the work that we're able to do. Mm. And, you know, Te Ngata Pasifika has been an awesome opportunity to serve and tell our stories via the platform. But also you get to not only report but go to these places, you know, as far as French Polynesia this year, to Guam, you know, to meet all our kazis on that side. And it's a huge privilege. So, yeah, never a day I take it for granted. What an honor it is to be in this position. Yeah. So, yeah. And then today I was had some free time and wonderful to be on your show. So, mālua again. So I ran here. So that's why
you ran. I thought so. You ran, and I didn't mention your beloved Otahuhu.
Of course, yes. You know, the little kingdom of Tonga.
The little Otahuhu. Kingdom of Tonga, which you I think you're the honorary mayor, we've decided.
You know what? Someone started it, and everyone thinks it's true, because they're like, oh, can you sign some documents for me? Like, I'm like some important, you know, authority to But I just had a look, and it's just a KFC voucher. So I thought maybe I should sign it.
Those are important too. Those are very important.
I really love our community. I was born in Tonga. We migrated here in the late 90s because my father was a carpenter. He had sadly passed away in 2012 now, but he brought us here because of his work. And it was through the church, and we lived in Mangere or Mangere, and then we migrated to the promised land of Otahu. So we've been there in Little Tonga, as they call it, because it's the meeting ground for the Tongan people or community here in Auckland or Tamaki Makaurau, especially when there is a sports event. I'm talking about the Mate Matonga, the Ikaletahi events. People go crazy. Yeah, it's
a sea of red.
It really is a sea of red. And we clog up, you know, the many points of entry into our little town. And it's not good for everyone. But I tell you what, it does feel like it's like we're at home in Tonga, in Nuku'alofa or, you know, different villages in the nation. So it's nice to bring a little bit of our culture and a little bit of us into this new place that we now call home.
Mm. Tangata Pasifika, you continue to front. Can you tell us, so how long have you been fronting the show and when did it all start for you? Can you share some of your journey?
Go here, Malo, Pito. It's been 15 years now since the beninging of my journey. 15? But it started way before that.
Yeah.
Officially 15 years working for Tangata Pasifika, but I did some work experience whilst I was at Otahuhu College in my senior year. I grew up around a time where there was a lot of negative stereotypes about our people. Mm. And, of course, as we know, media can influence and, you know, tell a different story. And so that kind of made me angry about, you know, the lack of positive representation of our community because, you know, there were such programs, you know, where we were breaking the law and whatnot. We're not all like that. But it kind of painted us as we're all, like, doing bad things.
Yeah.
And the only TV program at the time was Tangata Pasifika. Pasifika people telling our own stories on television.
Yeah.
This was before, you know, the likes of Fresh TV, Coconut and whatnot. Of course, there was the radio arm as well.
Yeah.
But I find with television, the images, they add on another layer. You can hear, but also when you have sound and vision at the same time, it's impactful when you show and celebrate our stories. So, yeah, that's a long story short. I did a program called the Gateway Program at school, and it really was the gateway to a future. That I was longing ever since that whole, you know, the anger in me was like, oh, we need to do something. You know, we need to better represent our people. And why not be part of that change? So I did my work experience and they told me I had to study. I applied for Christchurch Broadcasting School. Didn't get in. Because they say I was just too good looking for the TV.
Thought so.
Couldn't allow that. So I didn't get in. And boy, was I disappointed. And this is something I always bring up when I speak to our young people, rangatahi, when I speak. In life, you will have these hurdles. And sometimes it's meant to happen to make you stronger, make you learn.
Yep.
So I needed that little wake-up call. So that was my first rejection of getting into the broadcasting school where all these New Zealand broadcasters have all studied and come out of. And I had the other opportunity. Was AUT, where I did the comms degree.
Yeah.
And so, you know, as they say, when one door closes,
another one opens.
Use the window. Use the
the island window.
So there was another opportunity, and I thank God for, you know, providing another pathway for me to get into something that I really wanted to. Because I was, you know, determined. I was like, man, I've done the work experience with Tangata Pasifika. I saw the importance of having our own people tell our stories. And, yeah, we needed something to, you know, keep our community, you know, I guess engaged, but also informed with what's happening around them here in this new country that they call home. So yeah, fast forward, did my degree, then went back to Tangata Pasifika, and so 2010 is when I started on Tangata Pasifika, and that's where the journey has started. And then 5 years later from there, I had the awesome opportunity as well to also join the Pacific Media Network.
Yeah.
which is where I worked with you as well. And, of course, Gary as well was there. That was another addition to my career, which I learned something every day, you know, from all these wonderful colleagues of mine, going into radio, the whole language effort as well, because I work on Piementonga.
Yep.
Every Wednesday. So it's awesome to be everything I do, it's Pacific. It's got to be something related to the Pacific. Mm. And I think my life is about serving, and it's through the media.
I can hear the passion and the fire. Is it still there after all this time?
Absolutely. This is my dream job.
Working on
Tangata Pasifika, ever since I did that work experience, I saw the impact of stories and celebrating culture. But also, I think something I didn't realize at the time was the power of media in advocating. And it wasn't until 2010 I did a story on a Tongan family that have been staying in a garage in Mangere, and they've been trying to get into a home. But usually when media gets involved, we've had a look at their books, and they've got enough to show that they qualify for a home. But because sometimes they don't have the voice or the ability to, go back and put up with all the various processes that they put up against, and they start giving up. And so, when we helped them out and we were able to report that they got into a home the following week after we did the story, I thought, this is why I'm here. I may be a clown every day but if there's one thing that I can contribute to, my time here on earth, and I think this is my calling from God, give back in this way. So my energy has been on doing these stories. I love all the various stories, from the fun profile stories to the comedy ones but it's always the stories around advocating, creating a voice for the voiceless, and making sure that everyone is on a level playing field, because we know it isn't that way. And so that's why I just really love what I do. It's another chance for me to just help.
And you don't shy away from the hard stories either.
Yes.
I know you've talked about it's important to be, positive, but you've never shied away from those. Were they hard to do?
They are, because we both know when we report on things, we also take it in as well.
Yeah.
When we go and speak to people and their stories, we also absorb it as well. People don't realize that, but we're also in the front line. We go to people in their most vulnerable time, and so we hear their story firsthand before we retell it and put it on TV or record it for radio. So there is a sense of responsibility as well, but also it does add on to you as well. So whenever I do, very tricky stories. 2018, I got to go to Tonga. My colleague from One News, Barbara Driva, and I, we went to Tonga to do a story on the dialysis situation. Tonga doesn't have a proper dialysis, the way they set up. Mm-hmm. So people are either just getting some temporary treatment over there if they're going through the failure with their system, or otherwise, if they can afford, they can go overseas. Mm. But anyway, we went there to do that story, and, that's also a story I've been passionate about, to try and get something to Tonga. And then suddenly the weather changed.
I remember,
and they said there's a big cyclone coming to Tonga. And I thought, oh, well, here we go. Because how I'm a meteorologist. I looked up and I thought, oh, no, it's fine. It's just like a normal day in Tonga. It's warm, But there, as they say, it's the calm before the storm. Yeah.
And you guys were right in the eye of it, weren't you?
We were stuck there during that time. And so these are, things are never planned for. So I rang home. I said, oh, Mum, I'm not coming back. I'm actually going to stay here. Because the story has dramatically
changed
into a story around the cyclone. And it was one of the biggest to hit the Friendly Islands in a long time.
Yeah.
And, during that experience, we were there on the ground as a country. This is something our ancestors and those in the islands have always done, is prepare for the storm. And so we were there to capture all of that. And then overnight, we were also recording as well, just the things that happen, during the overnight, you could hear things flying around. Because just the power of the wind, you could hear the corrugated iron lifting from, from a house and then going whoosh, or you'd see stuff going straight into the ocean, because that's how strong or the might this Cyclone Gita was. And we were able to be there, to cover the aftermath as well. And we're, like I said about absorbing, we were there with the families. We went to one of the most hard hit areas in Tonga, because it's right by the water, coastal areas.
Gosh.
And so we saw families, just rebuilding again. And these are families who have done this. They've just finished rebuilding from the last big storm that they've had.
And then
Cyclone Gita. And, you can't help but, feel for them and, see what they're doing. But my hope is that when we cover the stories, there is highlighting the issue and the awareness around, this is reality in the Pacific, but also get some help.
Mm.
But, that was a scary. And I was a time, but I was on my own as well. We're all in our hotels because I'm like, man, what if this... Even the accommodation, what if this collapses as well? So
you really were part of the story.
Yeah, we were.
Because
yeah.
I remember reading the article in the paper, and you and Barbara looked shattered. And I was like, we're kind of fine.
One thing is reporting, but when you're there on the ground, it's a totally different experience.
Because
you get to meet the people, but also you can smell the air and the feel and see the I guess, the devastation that's happened and unfolded.
Firsthand.
So we're right there. But I guess, once again, it's, when these things happen, we are there. It's part of history. When there's a tsunami or a cyclone, people leave, but reporters, we go towards it. It's us. Who does that? It's us and the emergency workers. We're all trying to find a way to go in because we need to send information back as well. That was another scary time to be in Tonga. But one I will never forget.
You've also covered some real, the passing of the monarchs in your homeland of Kingdom. What's that like?
You know what? I thought about it the other day. I was like, man, who am I? How have I been able to go to these, access to all these events and meet all these people? And it's from the coronation to the royal state funerals.
Absolutely.
And I've met people, world leaders. I'm like, far out. I'm just so grateful. I've never imagined that I'll have this. Normally I wouldn't have this opportunity to be in the presence of royalty, to be in the presence of church leaders, like our first Tongan cardinal. I got to interview him in Tonga after his his mass, their majesties, our queen mother, and to also just witness culture and history. And, the people are there, they can say they were there, but I'm like, wow, I was there too. It's like unbelievable. There's a tingling feeling when you're standing and seeing, like, I will always remember when they were, the pallbearers were bringing the body of our former queen mother from the palace, walking, carrying all the way to her final resting place in Tulo. It was powerful. You're seeing the quiet, but there were hundreds of people, lining the streets. But it was just so silent. And, like, it's a moment in time I will never forget as well.
You've talked about culture and history. We were watching parts of the Koronehana that's just finished in Narawahia, Kingitanga, and watching the new queen.
Yes.
And she talked about love your language, embrace your culture, tradition, which you have 110% with your work with PMN Tonga. Language, how important is it?
Language is important, and it's not just the nations that we always say that they are endangered. It's happening to Tonga as well. It is strong that we're using it, but it can happen to anyone. So because we're now living abroad, and it's easier just to speaking English to everyone, it's becoming a bit too common, and it means that we're kind of using it more than our native tongue.
Are you seeing a change?
There is a push.
Okay.
And I think things like the Access Radio, the community radios, and what we're doing on Tangata Pasifika, and nationally here in New Zealand, we're leading with of having the Language Week celebrations. Yeah. But even like little small things like at school when they were dressed in the EFI kanga, we have our language classes at the school. You know, it's not just the French and German languages. You know, we're inserting a little bit more of our Pasifika languages as part of the curriculum. It gets me excited because I'm like, yeah, finally, because it's important that our young ones are engaged in our language retention, because if we don't use it now, we will absolutely lose it. And it's already happening. And, you know, when we go back to the islands, you know, there's a bit more English you hear around town with people, you know, conversing in, in the Lea Whakapalangi or Lea Kaumuri. So it's better that, you know, we try our bit. And I'm so happy that New Zealand is the leader in that, because now Tongans, when we have Tongan Language Week, Tongans from all over the world are also taking part in, you know, oh, we're having our Language Week now as well to coincide with New Zealand. So, yeah. But now it's how do we keep it going, you know, using the apps and whatever new technology to make sure that, you know, it's still around. Yeah.
You spoke about education. You also play pivotal roles in governance. You're on the board, several boards, but one in particular, Otahuhu College. Yeah. So you're walking the talk. You're helping our next generation. What's that like for you as well? Like, does that all count, you know, is it all linked with your work?
Yeah. Lots of learning, you know, because I come from broadcasting into our new territory of governance.
Yeah.
But important as well, because what we do will impact the students and our school and our community when you think wider. So it's, yeah, equally important as well. And, you know, I do my bit to help the board and also the principal and our teachers to make sure that we create a space and a school family community that we're able to make sure that everyone has an equal chance to learn and just thrive. Because I've learned so much when I was there, but it's now how the tables have turned, and now I'm, you know, on the board.
Yeah.
And but yeah, it's a huge responsibility, Gladys, and I'm learning so much as well.
How much harder is it for our new generation with social media? You know, with the likes, it wasn't so much with, you know, in the early 2010, you know, that time, compared to now, how much of a struggle is it?
Well, back in my day.
Back in my day,
we used to talk to each other.
Call each other on the phone.
Kanohi te kanohi. But now it's a different generation, and it's something that I spoke about. I had a Rotary Club meeting with our local schools in Otahuhu, and I wanted to emphasize to our young people about not forgetting where they're from, and when they're speaking, not forgetting the shoulders they're standing on and what they will do for the next generation, because they will be the ones leaning on them to go forward. So what I was trying to say is, you know, don't forget who you're representing. You know, when you speak and open your mouth, you know, speak with energy and mana to someone else, you know. And when they're on social media, what they're using and saying online, you know, are you going to use it to put down someone, or are you going to put something that's going to empower someone else? So it's now it's a tool that is fantastic, and it's great, but it can also, you know, deteriorate friendship and, you know, break down communication. So it's a good thing you brought up the social media thing, because it's wonderful, it's around us, but it can also be harmful. And we've seen that with breakdown of communication, relationships, and I just wish people were more mindful, because it's not just us in the media. Everyone is able to report.
Everyone's using it.
Everyone's on their phones. Oh, here's the wedding of the century, and they're live. Or it's them eating, you know, whatever they're having for dinner and whatnot. It's great, but it's just remembering the responsibilities that also comes when you are using your device. And because it can be really sad. Yeah.
I want to go back to something you spoke about, Rotary. Now, I was intrigued when I heard you were asked to go on to Rotary. What is Rotary?
I think there was no one else in Otahuhu, so they're like, oh, that guy. What's your name? John, I'll come along. I've been a big fan of Rotary. because I know in the past they've always sent stuff to Tonga, especially following the Cyclone Gita in, okay. After disasters.
Right.
And there was fundraising. And I remember one time I went to an event in Otahuhu, and the people there that were doing the sausage sizzle, they were quite elderly, you know, and I thought, oh, man, I want to go help. Well, yeah. You know, so at the moment, I'm just a friend of Rotary, you know, so I'm still working my way and learning from our current members. This is the Otahuhu Rotary, and there's so many fantastic Rotaries around the country doing amazing work, you know, and not just in Tonga, but all over the Pacific. And it could be things from like building, construction, to the clean water and whatnot.
Yeah.
And so I'm just a big fan of just helping and seeing whatever way I can, you know, insert my contacts or whatever energy I can bring to the group. Yeah, more than happy to do that. But I'm the second youngest in the...
Oh, are you?
Shout out to all my members at the Otahuhu Rotary.
So Rotary and... so they have groups all around the country?
So cool. Otahuhu won... It's been around for a long time, and it's cool to, you know, but more for me, it's learning from other members, you know, with respect to matuas. And so for me, I'm just like, oh, how do you do that? How do you connect with? And they do events during the year for the members, but also to try and engage with the youth. Because I think it's, you got to have them engaged as well. Mm-hmm. So they're aware of what's happening in our town.
Engagement, you do that. So well. And rugby fans got a chance to see you do something different earlier this year in the rugby season with Moana Pasifika. And you were on the ground.
Yeah.
Can you talk to us about that?
I know people are probably thinking, were you playing, John? I know.
Because you were reserve.
Like I was the reserve to the reserve.
Thought so.
Yeah, but I thought I'd give Adi a chance just to shine.
Yeah, I wondered. So good of you.
I had the honor of doing some work with Moana Pasifika this year as the ground announcer. And I loved it because I get into my voiceover voice.
Yeah.
You know, I've been cereals, the breakfast of everyday champions. Everyone's like, oh, here we go. It's that guy again. I read out the sponsors during the games, and then I read out the teams as they come out. And I just have a bit of fun with it as well. And working with the brother of my toko, DJ Al Goody, who was on your show earlier, I learned from him because he said to me, this is our Pasifika community, this is our game, so just be as Pasifika as you are, you know, and because I was I've never done this kind of ground announcing work before.
Is it your first time?
First time. I've heard it, you know, gone to games and you can hear them, welcome to North Harbour Stadium and all that. But that was my first time in, Al Goody or Alfred said to me, just be yourself. So I just added on my little dry humour. So someone missed the kick and I was like, ooh, unlucky. And I could see people going, oh gosh, there's that annoying Tongan guy again. But it's cool. I get to have a bit of fun with it because it's about the atmosphere that we bring. It to the match, and we had some really good feedback about the atmosphere that Moana Pasifika brought to the north, North Harbour Stadium. And I really, really loved the team so much because I forgot about we were all from different parts of the Pacific. There, we were just Moana Pasifika.
Right.
We had a Tongan and Samoan, Fijian, Cook Islander all cheering for the one team.
Yeah.
And I love this spirit about sport, that it just brings people together. It just broke down the walls of, I'm here, I speak this language. Everyone was just united. And it was such a beautiful thing. And then we saw that with the success of the team with the last season.
Oh, sure.
And I was just making the noise on the on the intercom.
You make it look so easy, but there's a lot of work that goes into it.
People don't realize, like, we arrive like 2-3 hours ahead before the gates are open, and then we do all our run through, and then I practice reading all the team names and then all my little sponsor reads. And and then when the gates open, people start, and then I also join Ma'a as well as Lorenzo and the crew to do the field MC.
Yeah.
But I said, you guys are much better at that. I'll just stay upstairs and do the announcing, the voiceover stuff.
You talked about that energy. How do you keep the energy going? Because that's a lot for you too, to carry.
Well, you should see me after, because I'm like...
You're like, you're silence.
Like, don't talk to me anywhere else. I think if we have the chance, Gladys, go 100. Give it your all, you know. I have the opportunity to be on Earth. I'm making the most of it while I can. Because there will be a time where I'll get older, you know, and the energy will fade. So I think I live every day and make the most of it. So that's my, I guess, my philosophy is like, if you can do it, do it. And give it your all. You know, we have this opportunity. Not everyone gets to do it. So let's make the most of it. Go out there and go with a bang and make some noise, make it a roar, you know. So, yeah, that's my attitude to, to life.
It's a positive attitude.
Which is probably annoying for everyone else. They're like, oh, gosh, does he mind?
Not at all. And we don't mind at all because we're having a wonderful Talanoa here with John Paulo. We're going to be back right after this. Here's a bit of Black Rose. Right here. It's Koka Pasifika Wire PW Live on Planet FM. Black Rose with Koka. And Gary, you were saying you met them?
Yeah.
Well, we met them?
Yeah.
Oh, look at me trying to insert myself into the conversation there.
Not turning my mic on.
Oh, okay then. All right. Welcome back. Here we are. Planet FM 104.6 with our very special guest, John Paulo, who has just a wealth of experience in the media industry, also in governance, education, advocacy, master of ceremony. Oh, and I've seen you at your best. You have emceed some of the biggest events in our Pasifika calendar.
I
and I often watch you go, like, how do you do it?
That's a very good question. I don't know either. It is just a huge blessing to be able to do these things. I think the most biggest event I've ever done is to host the Pacific Islands Forum in Nauru 1 year. And they asked me to sit in and facilitate one of the talks between... This was during the time of Tu'ilaipa, the former Prime Minister Achilles Pohiva, and other world Pacific regional leaders. And I'm like, how did I get here? So it's awesome. And it's just all experiences, that just adds on to my career. And I learn every day about, that side of things. And then one time I hosted an event when Prince Harry was in Aotearoa as well. So I was like, wow, I can't believe I'm, hosting an event and he's here. But then, yeah, it's doing other events like the Pacific Music Awards.
Yes.
At some stage, I think I've done it for my 9th year now.
Wow. Just a few weeks ago. Congratulations,
that's right.
You and Gabby.
So, and been really lucky to, be part of that as well, because it's a happy time with celebrating our Pasifika musos and what they bring to that space. But at the same time, I still do the, grassroots emceeing events, the local fashion shows, to the book launches and, community.
They're all
church,
important.
Yeah, my church one, which I'm just voluntold. I don't actually have
I
a
like
say
that.
In that. Yeah.
What's a voluntold? I like that word.
Yeah, it's something my mother is quite a master in that. Yeah. So, I may not go to church every Sunday, folks, but if there's one thing I can give, it's to some of our church events as well. So, it's just full of gratitude, of gratefulness, of, having this ability to, speak in front of people. I think, I draw it back to, my grandparents, when we come from oratory lines, and I just insert my little bit of dry humor in it, and somehow people like that. But at the same time, it is an important role because you're trying to take control of what the situation is.
Yeah.
So if it's... a dinner event, you make sure we run on time.
Yeah.
We introduce the guests. And it's also a time where, we really beef up the person that you're introducing, give them a little bit of, mana before they come up. So it's a special and, role that's all part of the whole atmosphere, whatever event it is. So, it's pretty cool.
What advice were you given when you started into this industry that still resonates with you now?
It's why I do it. And like I said earlier, it's Pasifika. Everything I do is for the Pacific. Everything, I live and breathe my Tongan language and culture, and still learning about our Fijian roots.
Yeah.
My Vosa Vakaviti, trying to learn the language, but I put on the accent very well, guarantee. My father's side, we have our links to Lao in Fiji as well. So that's another side I'm still learning.
Mm.
But it's just why I do it. And for me, it's just making sure that we build something now and a legacy we leave for the next generation to take it forward. And I may not be here, so hopefully this video will outlive me, and then my grandkids in the future will be like, oh, is that what our annoying grandfather looked like? Is that what he looked like? But it's just making sure we leave something that our next generation will inherit that's better. I'm just doing what our ancestors have done. They migrated from the Pacific to come here for a better future for you and I, and now it's our chance to continue that cycle. One day when I'm not here, there's something for them. It's something I've learned from my father as well around legacy. What what am I doing now that will be here for the next person to move forward, and their life is better or a little bit better.
Yeah. Another strand of you that I've noticed is there's a lot of our well-known Pacific fashion houses that are often, seeing you in different, fashion labels. And I guess is that part of the job? Because you're constantly being approached, which is a great thing. You've been approached to support or to advocate. Yeah. But I must say,
it's an honor as well. When you are in this space, we're able to, wear really nice clothes.
Yeah. And I love that. I love that. that our island labels are able to do that, eh?
Absolutely. And it's an honour, and I always thank them for, allowing me to wear their clothing.
Yeah.
And, and it's designs from the Cook Islands to Samoa, other parts of Papua New Guinea as well. So I'm always wearing it with pride, but not forgetting, the patterns and, the story that comes with it. Because it's not just an ordinary shirt. There's motifs and, things that...
There's a story.
There's a story with it. So, I love that because our people are continuing the storytelling in various forms. There's the music and now this is the fashion. And, I love it. And so, I'm able to, choose which offu or shirt. But I try that to normalize it. And I love seeing our young ones, they're wearing more aloha shirts to events. The E as well, like a normal thing.
Yes.
Because I think when I was growing up, I was like, oh, we only wear that on Sunday. Why are you wearing that now? Because I just want to make it like a normal thing. Like, I could just rock up at work with my sulu or tupenu and just feel normal about it. And it's cool that even our national carrier, in New Zealand, is inserting a little bit of the ear into their uniform as well.
Yes, saw that.
As I mentioned earlier about the schools, the tupenu, the ear, is part of the boys' uniform. So it's cool that, we're still enriching, adding on our culture and our flair and flavour to Aotearoa. Mm. But long story short, I love wearing our design gears from the likes of Tav, Evini Carruthers, Janet's, or... the Ali'i brand as well.
I'm wearing I'm just wearing my clothes. There you go. You're also a singer.
No, that's absolutely a lie.
You are a singer. We have heard you sing. We've heard you sing. Is that another facet that you might be interested in going into?
People are probably not.
Well, that was honest.
I did try rapping, but... I realized that wasn't going to go far, and so I love music, and music is good for me because it gives me energy.
Yep.
And when I'm nervous, I listen to my tongue and string band music, and even the acoustic singing. I don't know. There's just power that comes with it, and also I love the language. When it's just the traditional Tongan music, and then once again you put on some reggae music, takes a bit of pressure or attention, because sometimes I get a bit nervous when I go to events or speak at or interviews.
Yeah.
So on my way, do a little lotu, or I play my music just to calm me, and then it just takes my mind away from thinking about whatever topic or subject.
Wow.
So that's what I do to calm me, and now and then I put on a full length concert and I'll shower. For an audience of one. Raving reviews from the neighbor. They're yelling a lot. Like, I'm sure it's excitement, but it's a good thing I can't hear what they're saying. But music is a beautiful thing, and I've been able to connect with people. And when I do the Pacific Music Awards, firstly, I go there as a music lover because I love
music.
And, from classical to... some of the contemporary stuff as well. Mm. Yeah.
What do you do for downtime? Like, I don't really see you have downtime. Yeah. So when you can, what are you doing?
Rest and try and rest as much as I can. Because I think that's the one thing I still haven't quite mastered. Because I say yes to so many things.
Yes, you do.
And in the past, I've had to make the tough decision on saying, no, I'm unable to do it, because there's sometimes like I'll have a late night at one event and then one that very next morning as well. And so, I think for me, just I need the, when I do get a chance, I sleep, rest and,
it's work-life balance, eh?
Yeah, it really is a balance. And then I try and do the whole gym thing.
Yes.
to try keep me fit because I'm getting older and,
That's been fabulous. How long is it when you started BFT? Because we started that journey. I haven't continued it, but you have.
Trying.
Wow, done.
Yeah. And it gets harder as I'm getting older, because some days I'm like, I don't feel like going today. And then some days I find myself at the drive-thru. It's my car. It just takes me there. It's not me.
You've got no control.
It's the AI that doesn't exist in my car. But it really is a balance. And so when I do find time, it's just rest. Yeah, spend time with my family or, you know, do the walk or my cycling as well, which I've also neglected. My bike is covered in dust. Yeah. A reflection of my efforts with cycling. Dusty. Very dusty.
Well, you've been busy. And you've talked about your family. How do they react to you being, like, a public figure? You're so recognized, you know, so well recognized, I should say. How do they keep you pretty grounded?
Absolutely. My mother absolutely doesn't watch the show or listens to the radio. So every time I come home, she's like, did you pay the bill? Did you pick up the thing on the way home? I'm like, yeah. And so, yeah. But I know my mum really appreciates what I do. Yeah. And, you know, I'm able to find or have a career that I'm able to look after, you know, be the person that looks after our family. That's the main thing for me. I'm able to say, Mum, it's your time to relax and I'll do everything to look after you now. So. Mm. You know, family, it's a massive, you know, part of my life, and they've been very supportive. Yeah. I remember, because I was raised by two parents, one is my actual parents and one is my auntie and uncle. And so my other mum, she suggested I should go into Bible college. Imagine that.
Wow.
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So, no, that didn't last. Yeah. I would have, too much yappa, and not much studies.
Reverend John Paul.
Oh, look, pastor's all right.
Oh, sorry, pastor. No. My apologies.
Yeah, pastor sauce. But no, it's something that, the career and how things have landed where it's taken me. I'm very grateful and still so grateful for where I am at the moment. Mm. But, family have been there since the beginning. They're used to me being away as well because a lot of time traveling.
I was going
to
say.
And so my mom still is mum and like, please be safe. Don't go swimming. Don't go doing it. Don't go breathing or something. Gee, mum, do you want me to be wrapped up in a bubble wrap or something? Yeah. But I love that because they mean it, you know, from a good a heart of like, just be careful, especially when I'm away from home a lot. Mm. Yeah.
And I probably know the answer to this, but is there any way you would be like, I don't want to do this anymore?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think it will take a lot, you know, maybe until, you know, I'm down there. Because I just love it too much.
Yeah.
Because it's really not work, you know. And you know, because I annoy you every day at work. Hey, Gladys. Hey, guys. But I just love the work that it's not work for me, but it's more just a duty. It's, I guess, my time to give back to my community and just do what I can to, you know, empower and, you know, add on. If someone's watching a story, they giggled or they learned something new, my job is done. I've made a little impact in their day. And you just never know who might be listening. Because you might just turn their life or their mood around, you know, or something like that. They must be going through something bad. Because they listen to the radio for, you know, little pickup or music that kind of makes them happy. So you might say something that just might just make them feel a little bit better.
What advice would you give to those who are coming into this industry now? Mm. With everything, the way the world is, social media and alike, what advice would you impart?
I always bring it back to, why are you doing it? Mm. You know, and why would you want to do it? Because now with social media, everyone wants to do it for the clicks. People want to do it for the, you know, the following and all that. But as I mentioned, this industry comes with a lot of responsibility as well. Mm. When we are broadcasting, when we're posting stuff, don't forget who might be on the other receiving end and how they might be impacted by what you do. So it's just remember why you do it. I've spoken to some young people years ago, and they're like, oh, I want to be like Oprah. I want to be like so-and-so. You know, be yourself. Don't be like Oprah. You know, they try and replicate the sound or the mannerism of someone from the other side of the world. Why not be you and just be good at it? But never forget why you're doing it. If it's for the right reason, you will go far. If you're there for just the fame and, you know, like, I don't know. It's not the right thing. I believe if they're doing it for the right reason to, you know, really make a difference with this role, I think they will be better off.
You're an award-winning broadcast journalist as well. You've been nominated for national awards here. How do you How do you view your work in terms of from working in Pacific to mainstream, if that makes sense?
People have often asked, why haven't I moved on to mainstream? I just feel my impact is here in the Pacific. Because I live and breathe, it's Pacific people, and I think if I go there...
Because they've tried to take you, I know that.
I just love it too much, you know, and especially like the work that we do on Tangata Pasifika, that's made specifically for our community. Over there, it might be a different audience, and, you know, it might be a different type of angle on our community that I might not always agree with. So I like our stuff because Tangata Pasifika, we're telling our stories and celebrating and empowering, but also advocating. Because otherwise, with other news programs, it's often the bad stuff.
Yep.
You know, it's often the you know, the other things that will, you know, oh, yeah, that's bad. Oh, yeah, that will make the... Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I feel and I enjoy it more if I stay with Tangata Pasifika or PMN as well. Because that's what we do. It's the station that brings Pacific people together. Yep. Tangata Pasifika, we're telling our stories. And yeah, so I love it.
Every Saturday?
9:30 on TVNZ1.
And then repeated on TP Plus?
Indeed, and also TVNZ Plus as well, so yeah.
And when people have finished watching that, they can tune in to PMN Tonga on?
On on our Facebook.
Quizzing you?
Yes, yeah. on PMN Tonga every Wednesday, I'm on air on the bilingual program from 3 till 6 p.m. And then after that, I mean, we're live on our website, pmn.co.nz, or go on to the iHeartRadio apps as well, so people can listen in on that. Yeah. Mm. Or just come to Otahu and I'll give you a live radio program every day.
Oh, see?
Hey?
So would you be able to give us free kekepoas? Because your father is still above Pinati's.
That's right. Eo. Well, it's the funny story with that, my face is on was one of the faces on the wall at Pinati's kekepoa in Otahu.
Yeah.
And at work, they're like, oh, who's free to be part of a promo for Pinati's? And I was like, oh, what's in it? They're like, oh, free kekepoa. I was like, oh, you had me at free kekepoa. So it doesn't take much to please me. You just say food and I'm there. It's still there. But yeah, it's funny. People ask me if I get free stuff. I'm like, no, I still pay. It's a business. You need to support them.
Yes, absolutely. John Paulo, you are one of a kind. All great things come to an end. I wish we could tell an all more, but we encourage people to listen to the full podcast. And we thank you for joining us here on Planet FM. Sir, what a privilege. What an honour to work alongside you and to hear some of your story. We wish you nothing but the best. Last word, sir?
O whalahi atu. Mālo au pito. God bless.
It's been lovely to talk to you. Here we go. Thank you so much, everyone. John Paulo in the studio with us, and we will be back next Saturday, so make sure you keep on listening. I think we could listen to a bit more Black Rose, don't you? Imanda. Thank you for sticking a while. Connecting our voices.
Hit it! Black Rose.
Spirit is calling for a bond. Could you find that natural world? Travel with them, travel so island magic on that flow. Neon fire and travel sound.
Neon garden, secret ground.
Standing on mini mini, was a mini to know what's a Pacific. Yeah.
Destiny. while.